Negotiations to avoid that fiscal cliff are not going well. The White House shot down House Speaker John Boehner's latest proposal that would raise tax revenue by closing loopholes instead of raising tax rates on the wealthiest Americans, which is what President Obama is proposing. And as just about everyone knows by now, if no deal is reached by January 2nd, all Bush-era tax cuts on all incomes will expire, so taxes in effect go up. And then sequestration kicks in. That's the $1.2 trillion in across-the-board automatic spending cuts spread out over 10 years. What does that mean? We want to take a closer look with Robert Levinson of Bloomberg Government. He joins us from their studios in Washington, D.C. Rob, welcome.
Thank you very much, Robin. It's great to be here.
And we are learning that the word sequestration comes from a legal term for property that's taken into custody by courts when it's in dispute. In this case that we're talking about, it's a new, relatively new rule requiring that Congress make cuts if it can agree on ways to limit spending. That's very simply put, but it's automatic. So give us the broad numbers. What would be cut?
For fiscal 2013, which is the fiscal year that we're in right now, it started in October. About $110 billion get cut, and that's split evenly between defense and non-defense spending from their 2013 budgets.
We understand most military programs will face a 9.4% reduction, but what does that mean? Like, what gets cut?
Well, virtually all of the military programs are on the table, with the exception of personnel. The president has the power under the law to exempt salaries of uniformed men and women in the military. And those the president can take off the table. And that's about a third of the defense budget. And he has indicated that he will do that. But the interesting thing in defense is it's also money from prior years that is what is called unobligated, meaning it hasn't been put on contract. Oftentimes, defense will get some money appropriated, but they can't spend it for several years. So there's these what they call these unobligated balances sitting there. And that money is also available to be cut by that same percentage.
So it's money that they, you know, maybe now they're thinking foolishly didn't spend, but were granted before that could be cut. But just to underscore, you're saying it's not as if troops will, you know, lose salaries, but what about health benefits?
Health benefits are not part of the personnel account. They're part of the operations and maintenance account. And there's about $55 billion in the total DOD health plan, paying for both active duty and retirees and their families. And so if you estimated out that 9.4%, they'd take about $3 billion out of the DOD health care program. Now, how they distribute that, my sense is that they probably would still take care of the active duty troops and their families 100%, but they might have to cut back on some of the services to the retirees. I talked to the senior DOD officials in health, and they said, you know, you can't take $3 billion out of the health plan without having some impact in a very negative way.
Well, there's that. And then, you know, when it comes to the programs, we understand that, you know, some defense contractors are holding off on hiring and some of the projects. And this could, you know, mean, well, by one estimate I'm reading on CNN Money, 325,000 jobs.
There could be job cuts. A lot depends on what the particular contractor, for example, is providing. If they're providing a big weapon system like Lockheed Martin, say, providing the F-35 fighter jet, which is the most expensive program in Pentagon history, you know, the work that they're doing right now is based on money from prior years. So they're not going to feel the cut in those kinds of programs right away. But those people who provide services to the military, everything from logistics services in Afghanistan, grass cutting on a base in the United States, they're going to feel that impact a little bit more immediately. And yeah, it could lead to job cuts. It's sort of debatable what the numbers are, but certainly you could see cutbacks in jobs.
Moving along, and a lot of people are pointing to the fact that when you speak of defense, you also have to include diplomacy, as we've seen in places like Egypt. And we understand that diplomatic programs and embassy security would be cut $1.2 billion. Moving into domestic issues, Medicaid and food stamps are apparently shielded, but the Department of Health and Human Services has the biggest cut on the non-defense side. So what gets cut there?
Well, again, you know, HHS administers things like Medicare and Medicaid. Most of those programs are exempt. About 2% of Medicare is subject to sequestration, but they held most of it harmless. So it's all the other stuff that HHS does, the National Institutes of Health and things like that, the grants that they put out, a lot of the other grant programs to state and local communities, those are certainly subject. Again, the estimate of the part of the budget that is subject to sequestration, if you look at the 2013 budget, it could be about $7 billion taken out of HHS.
Well, Ann Stauffer of the Pew Center on the States has looked at what the cut of federal grant money to states, she says it could be $7.5 billion in spending on low-income students and special education. 200,000 children could be dropped from Head Start. So that's how it might trickle down?
Yes, it's certainly possible. You know, one of the interesting questions is how exactly the cuts are made. The way the law says, the law that created this, the Budget Control Act, and then it's based on Graham Rudman Hollings, which goes back to the mid-1980s. But it says every program, project, or activity will be cut by an equal percentage. So that means the agencies, as you read the law, can't simply say, well, we'll figure out what the high priority programs are, we'll protect those, and we'll cut more from the others. It doesn't look like the law really allows them a whole lot of flexibility in that area.
Well, and just quickly touch on Medicare, a subject of huge debate during the election. The White House claims that cuts to Medicare would fall on providers. But, you know, if you think that through, if doctors and hospitals are getting less from Medicare, might there be less treatment?
Well, sure. The larger debate on Medicare, they always talk about this doc fix where they, you know, years ago when Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House, they cut money supposedly to providers again, but then every year Congress goes back and sort of undoes it because of the impact. So, you know, these cuts will be felt in the system somewhere, and there's going to be some pain.
What's the impact on the economy?
If you look at the Congressional Budget Office, now they're estimating sort of the whole fiscal cliff. And, you know, the fiscal cliff is not just the sequestration cuts, but, of course, it's the expiration of all these tax cuts from the Bush era. The estimate is around $500 billion that sort of get yanked out of the economy. And the Congressional Budget Office estimates that, you know, this puts you probably back into a recession for at least the first half of the year.
Well, and it's interesting because perhaps, you know, some of these cuts are, let's say, what the Republicans are looking for, making the government smaller. But many Republicans are howling about the cuts to defense. So nobody wants this.
Right. I mean, nobody thinks sequestration is a great idea. It was designed to be sort of a Congress putting a gun to their own head and basically saying, look, it's so horrible. Nobody wants it. It'll force us to come to some sort of an agreement. But as yet, as you mentioned, you know, a solution seems to elude both Congress and the president.
Reminds me of that character from Blazing Saddles.
That's exactly the analogy that I use, and the Secretary of Defense has used the same one.
With some cleaned up language, probably.
Right.
Robert Levinson of Bloomberg Government with a look at sequestration. Thanks so much.
Thanks very much, Robert.
Okay, quick program note. Tomorrow, Jacob Tomsky started out as a parking valet at a hotel, worked his way up to manager of housekeeping. Now he's written a terrific tell-all. For instance, he says, if you don't tip, you may not want to use your toothbrush. Just saying. That's tomorrow, along with all the latest news. Wine critic Eric Asimov, yes, he's related. He's next, here and now.